الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم الآية. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely the best reward is for those who have taqwa, and surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. لا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself of the importance of taqwa, the importance of having the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be aware of Allah in everything that we do within our life. Because if the mercy of Allah leaves us for 1 second, we will not be able to live in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in speaking about this time period that we are going through right now, even though it is after the time of the Hajj, still there is mention about this time period, the importance of the days that we are going through right now. And Allah tells us, verily the number of months with Allah is 12. So it was ordained by Allah on the day He created the heavens and the earth. Of them, 4 are sacred. That is the right religion. So do not wrong yourselves. So in this section of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and speaking about these months, He said there are 4 sacred months. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined these months as Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. These are the sacred months. And what is important, again, as we recall the words of Allah, لا عدوان إلا على الظالمين, that there is no animosity except for the oppressors. When this sacred verse is mentioned, and speaking about the months, which are hurum, which is haram to do things, immediately after that, then Allah says clearly, do not oppress yourselves. Do not be involved in al-dhulm, oppression. And oppression is a very serious issue in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we oppress ourselves. And the scholars have told us that oppression can even mean mujawazat al-hudud, that when you go past the limits, you can oppress yourself. You can oppress yourself by taking too much food, or by taking too much medicine, or being extreme in any particular way in this life. And so Islam looks for a balanced way of life, because the oppression is to go from one extreme or to another extreme. So we are ummatun wasata. We are the balanced nation. It's not only middle, because you can be middle between a lot of things, but the balanced nation, the one that does not go to one extreme or another. Oppression can happen in our families. It can happen in our communities. It can happen on the international scene. And we see today so much oppression, so much inequality taking place in front of us. And with the advent of technology and the ability to record this oppression and bring it, it even seems worse than it originally was, because now we are realizing the oppression of the children of Adam all over the world. And this word dhulm has an important theme to it. In the Quran, in some cases, it takes another level of dhulm. So you have dhulm, then you have adlam. Who is more oppressive? Or who is the greatest of oppressors? And in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 68, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوَى لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah tells us, and who is more unjust? So it is the worst form, the higher form. Who is more unjust than the one who forges a lie against Allah, or gives lie to the truth when it has come to him? Will not hellfire be the home for the unbelievers? And so in this verse, the extreme form of dhulm is connected with disbelief, and actually a warning comes of Jahannam. So it is so important for human beings to be truthful with what is happening around. Our society should be based on truth, and the laws of society and the mentality of the people in the society spring from the truth. If we go away from the truth to the kadhib, to the lie, then this enters us into an extreme form of adhulm. Extreme form. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, al-dhulm, it will be dhulumat, yawm al-qiyamah. That oppression will bring in darkness on the individual on the Day of Judgment. And so we look at the society around us. And although there are many things which we are proud to be recognizing inside this country, there are many great advantages. But there is one area which still needs to come forward with justice. And that is the basic history, the basic information which is coming into our minds. Because if a human being is satisfied physically, if you are giving that human being food and water and drink and a place to stay, but their mind is oppressed, then even though their lifestyle is a good one, they're still living under adhulm. And so in this month, in this changing season, for those who record information, those who try to understand the culture of this part of the world, there are serious contradictions in front of us. This is the month of October. And on October 13th, the people in America celebrated Columbus Day. And many of them still said that Columbus discovered America. That Columbus is the most important individual in the past concerning America. And this day is so important up until now that it is a federal holiday in the United States. That it is considered to be one of the most important dates and one of the most important individuals. There are more cities named Columbus in America than any other name. But he didn't discover America. So the basic premise of the whole holiday, of the founding of the society, is based on a lie. Because when Columbus landed in San Salvador, in the Bahamas, he found civilization. His son Ferdinand went to Mexico and found pyramids, huge cities. When the conquistadors went into the north, they found large cities in the United States. St. Louis, Cahokia, was the largest city of the native people. 100,000 people lived in the city. Three-story buildings. A great civilization. One half of the major crops in the world come from the Americas. But the story of Columbus is a person landing on the shores, discovering a place, and you don't discover a place if human beings are there. But yet 75 million people lived in these lands. And even though the history of these people was known by intellectuals, known by the academy, still the lie covered up the truth. And so for years, for decades, Columbus discovered America. Balboa discovered the Pacific. Da Gama discovered the way around the Cape of Good Hope. Only recently now, with challenges coming, and with the First Nations people standing up, only recently are they withdrawing and saying he sighted land on that day, instead of he discovered the place. But they don't teach the children that corn, potatoes, squash, tomatoes, cucumbers, watermelons, turkey, cranberry, so many of the products that we celebrate with, that the society celebrate with on their Thanksgiving Day, these are indigenous products. These are products that did not come from Europe to America. These are products that the Americas gave to the rest of the world. Imagine a world without corn. Imagine a world without potatoes, without tomatoes, cucumbers. This is basic diet for people now all over the planet. But yet and still, a story can come which can supersede the truth to the extent that people are confused. And when the true history comes, they accept the history, but still inside themselves, it's Columbus Day. It's Columbus Day. He's such an important individual. Reality is that the First Nations people here in this part of the world were connected not only north and south, but also west and east. And Muslims crossed the Atlantic. Al-Mas'udi, a famous Islamic geographer, in his book called Muruj al-Dhahab wa Ma'adan al-Jawhar, he spoke about the journey of the man named Khashkhas ibn Sa'id. That Khashkhas went into the ocean from Lisbon, what is now Lisbon in Portugal, and he came back with goods. And everybody in Al-Andalus, everybody in Spain knew about the journey of Khashkhas. Ash-Sharif al-Idrisi, in his famous geography book, spoke about Maghariba, a people who went across, landed on a deserted island, went to another set of islands, and they met the king who had a translator. This is the 11th century. He had a translator who could speak Arabic. Idrisi writes this. It's in his book now. Idrisi wrote about this. And the king said, between us and you is about a month and a half journey. Al-Umari, in his book, Masalik al-Abra, Fi Mamalik al-Amsar, he speaks about the journey of a West African ruler, Abu Bakr, Mansa Abu Bakr from Mali, who went across into Brazil with 2,000 ships. He never returned. Traces now have come to the surface of Muslim presence in South America, in Central America, all the way up into North America. That when the Spanish eventually came, they found the Malians already there. And they called them Black Caribs. because they couldn't think of anything else to call them. But their gold, the alloy of their gold, was the same as West Africa. The calendars were the same. Tribal names were the same. So much closeness was of the presence of Muslim. Even in Canada, the First Nations people who met Jacques Cartier, the Mi'kmaq nation, believed in one God. They clearly believed in Nisqam as the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so they were Muslims. They were Muslims, according to our general understanding of Islam. But in the mid-19th century, 13 years before the Confederation of Canada, before it confederated to the present country that you and I know, that you and I are benefiting from, and are glad to be part of, 13 years before this, Agnes Love, it's the name they put on the record book, she gave birth to a Muslim in Ontario. So a Muslim was born, and it was written in the books in Ontario 13 years before the Confederation. So we are not newcomers. We are not newcomers to this land. We are part of this society. The record books also tell us about Ali Abu Shadi from Lebanon, from Beirut, who landed in Montreal. And this is way back in that early time, in the early 19th century. He landed in Montreal, and he traveled all the way across the country to the Klondike, to the Yukon territories, a successful businessman, a person who had a strong place in the history of Canada. And there are so many hundreds of stories, thousands of stories of Muslims who are coming out of a huge civilization. Our civilization is not a small group of angry terrorists out to destroy the world. Our civilization is the basis of the modern society that we are benefiting from today. The basis of the technology, basis of the sciences, basis of modern progress, scientific method, came from the hands of the Muslims. And it all goes back to one man, to our beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who told his companions, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. He gave them many principles. Many principles. He even told them, and this is not only to Muslims, but it is for the whole of humanity, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَى. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, for every disease is a cure. And with this in mind, Muslims then went out to the different parts of the world, spent their time and their wealth investigating the science of those who came before, trying to find cures to disease. And I believe, and Allah knows best, that if the nations of the world would stop fighting and stop producing weapons of mass destruction, and spending all of the wealth and the time on so-called security, and focus those billions of dollars that are being wasted upon science, we could find a cure for the Ebola in no time. Because the cure exists. The Prophet ﷺ did not speak from himself. There is a cure. But when you don't care about people, when you leave them alone, when they're not important to you, then you let them die. Let them die. Let more of them die. And now everybody's sorry now, because the Ebola is in Texas. The Ebola's in Spain. The Ebola's moving around. Now the nations of the world are coming together. But the same wealth, that same wealth used on useless invasions of territory, useless destruction of innocent people, that wealth could be used to enhance life, to spread education, to spread invention, positivity. This is what human beings need now. It's positivity. And that was the basis of the Islamic society. The Prophet ﷺ sent them forward as the last messenger. He sent them forward until It is reported that one of the Tabi'een, Uqba ibn Nafi', he rode his horse all the way into the Atlantic Ocean. And he said, if I knew that there was land across you, I'll take this message there. Far in the north, Muslims reach. Deep in the south, Muslims reached. All the way to China. Muslims reach all the way to China. And according to some reports, the maternal uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, is buried in Canton, China. And so all the way around the world, a continental super state. That's what we're coming from. We're not coming from a tiny group of fanatics. A continental super state. Hundreds and millions of people with Arabic as the universal language. Arabic, the language that goes back, linguists believe, this more than likely is the language of Adam alayhi salam. It is the oldest of the Semitic languages. It is the strongest language in terms of its syllables, in terms of its usage. It has now become the strongest language in the world. So this as a basis, their buildings grew up and defied gravity. The doctors examined everything they could possibly find. Mathematicians were taking math and putting it into practical form to solve problems. And we are still benefiting today from Al-Khwarizmi in his amazing book, where he put the basis of Al-Jabr wal-Muqabala. He put the basis of algebra together, fractions, in order to solve real problems. Not just to have fun, not to win a contest, but because the Abbasids at that time had huge cities. There was inheritance problems. There was division of land, division of wealth, the building of roads, the laying out of cities. And so a science was needed to break things down into fractions. And so practical knowledge is what they kept alive. And their leadership, when Islam was healthy, it was based on merit. You could call it meritocracy. The one who leads is the one who deserves to lead. When Muslims are going down, it's when a royal family rules us. It's when a tyrant is beloved. That is when we are going down. When we are going up, it is when we stand in front of the tyrant. Imagine, as we are in the year 2014, imagine, go back 1,000 years. People usually cannot think like that. They'll skip over to the ancient time and rewrite ancient history. In the year 1000 AD, I want to take you back there. 1000 AD, at that time in the world, and the world population was not as large as what you think it was. At that time, they estimate there were only 280 million people on earth. Could you imagine that? 280 million people. But at that time, and this was reported by major magazines in the year 2000, in the year 1000, what were the 10 largest cities on earth? Number one, Cordoba in Spain, the Muslim capital of Spain. Kaifeng of China. Number three, Constantinople of the Byzantine Empire. Number four, Angkor of Cambodia. Number five, Kyoto of Japan. Number six, Cairo of Egypt. Number seven, Baghdad, Iraq. Number eight, Naysapur, Iran. And number 10, Isfahan. The number 9, Al-Hasa, Eastern Arabia. And number 10, Isfahan of Persia, which means 6 out of the 10 largest cities in the world were Islamic cities. We are not from a tiny minority group out to destroy the world. We are from the group that has preserved the world. But it is time for us to be able to stand up and to bring forward that preservation. I leave you with a thought, one beautiful concept of the many concepts of Islam. It is the concept of water. Water is looked upon as the origin of the life. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And we made every living thing from water. Will they still not believe? So water, basis of everything. Other societies did not have this understanding. And so we purified the water. And the word Sharia itself actually comes from water. From the place of the watering place. It is the place where one descends to the water. And so it is considered a gift. And the Prophet ﷺ said, every human being should share in three things. In grass, meaning the pasture, in water, and in fire. Principle he laid is that grass, land, agriculture should be shared by human beings, not private property. Water should be shared by human beings, not private property. And fire, meaning fuel, and that means oil, is not private property. It should be shared by all human beings. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, among three people who Allah will ignore on the day of judgment will be a man who, having water in excess of his needs, refuses to give it to the traveler. He has extra water and he refuses to give it to the traveler. And so these are the principles of a superstate. These are the principles of the preservers of civilization. And it is upon us now to live these principles, to remind ourselves. And so here in Ontario, we have Islamic History Month. We have a month dedicated to this. Muslims push for this, so that this can be known. We have to remind ourselves who we are. We have to remind ourselves. Because our scientists, our youth, can bring solutions to the world. The Prophet ﷺ said, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٍ, for every sickness, disease, there is a cure. And I believe that somebody soon, maybe a Muslim, will bring forward this cure. And we pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would help humanity to bring forward this cure as soon as possible. We pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would give us the ability to transform ourselves, to go back to where we came from, to be preservers of life, to be those who seek knowledge, and those who remember Allah from the beginning to the end. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمتي المال. Every nation has a trial and test. The trial and test of this nation is wealth. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to be able to spend this wealth in His path. May Allah bring nourishment to the poor and needy throughout the world. Wa yaqulu al-haq subhana mukhbiran wa amira inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وأنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wa dhill al-shirk wal-mushrikeen. Wa dammir a'da'u al-deen. Wa anzu ibadaka ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma ashfi mardana. Wa arham mawtana. Wa tawalla amrana. Wa ahfadh awladana. Wa astur uyubana. Wa tahhir qulubana. واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا يا كريم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيم الصلاة